Very warm greetings to one and all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As you know, there are seven churches represented by the seven choirs and six churches. One is Firestone Bible College. But I'm sure there are more than seven churches represented here in this congregation. And the common bond that brings us together is our common love for God's Word. Not just God's Word, but God's Word translated for all of us who speak English as our first language, the King James Bible. Why do we need to commemorate 400th year of the King James translation of God's Word? Many churches rejected the King James Bible. They have replaced the King James Bible with a modern translation. Some churches don't even bother to have an official translation. They tell the congregation, you just choose. Any translation will do. But for us, we hold on to the King James translation of the Bible, the KJV. Why do we do that? We do that because we believe that the King James Bible is the most accurate, the most faithful translation of the Word of God that God has given to us. The Bible was written in Hebrew, in Aramaic, and in Greek. But we don't speak these three languages. When God entrusted the local churches with the task of defending His holy word, that was the task given to the people of Israel in the Old Testament, where the word of God was given to them in Hebrew. And then when they were in exile, God added the Aramaic language to God's people, that they may read God's word while they were in exile. And then the New Testament, after the Greeks have conquered and then replaced by the Romans, where the Greek language was still in use in Palestine, God gave us the New Testament in the Greek language. But when God gave the local churches throughout the world to proclaim His word, to practice His word, to protect His word, God knows that all of us speak many different languages all over the world. And so we have the Word of God translated into all languages. But above all these languages that God has translated the Word of God for our blessing, the English language comes up on top. Simply because of the many, many years that the Word of God had been protected, proclaimed, and practiced. When the Apostle Paul was sent by the Holy Spirit to go west to bring the Word of God to the people in Europe, the Word of God began from there in the New Testament. And for that reason, many of our New Testament epistles are named after cities that are in Europe. Some of them are still in existence today. Ephesus, Corinth, they are still there. Why is that so? Because God wanted the Word of God to go west first before the Word of God came east. We all live in the Far East. We live in different parts of the world. But we speak the English language. God knew about the British Empire, the empire at its height, conquered the world and had 500 million people under them. And that 500 million people represented one quarter of the world's population at that time in the early 1900s. And not only that, the territory that belonged to the British Empire was also one quarter of the world's landmass. And for that very reason, we all speak English. The British Empire brought with her the language as well as the religion. And of course, the way they govern, the way they ran businesses, they brought their culture. And most of all, God used them to bring the missionaries to give us the word of everlasting life. And that's how the word of God came to the East. And we are speaking English today. And many of the books that attack the word of God are also written in English. Many of the books that defend the Word of God are also written in English. And therefore, out of all the translations, the English translation of the Word of God is paramount, because it is also the Word of God that is attacked the greatest, because the largest number of people on this earth, they read English. And so therefore, the King James Bible must be protected, proclaimed and defended by God's people, because that's the only way we know how to protect, proclaim and practice the Word of God. We can't read Hebrew, Aramaic and Greek. And so the next best thing for people like ourselves who speak English, it has to be the Word of God in English. And that is why we remember the 400th anniversary of the King James Bible, the Bible that we continue to love even as we read the King James translation of that Bible. Because when we read the King James Bible, we know that it is very faithful and accurately translated for us. Take verse 89, for example. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Do you know that this is precisely how it was written in Hebrew? Where the emphasis is placed in front of the sentence. Forever, that is where the emphasis is. It's not so much on the word itself, neither is it on the settled word of God in heaven, but it's forever settled in heaven. The emphasis is on the eternality, the continuation of the Word of God, that God Himself has allowed it to remain firm and established in heaven. The word settled means to erect, to stand firm and true against all attacks, against all sorts of the onslaught of the evil one. And it is placed in heaven, reminding us that no matter what we do on earth, it will never be allowed by God to affect His Word. The whole world, in fact, could deny the Word of God, but the Word of God will still stand true because it is settled in heaven. You and I can't touch heaven. And God wants us to understand that people like ourselves on earth, you must cherish God's Word. You must protect God's Word, even if it means your life, because it is our privilege and our honor to do so. God doesn't need us to defend and protect His Word. He can do it very well Himself. A case in point would be how the Lord delivered Far Eastern Bible College. We were instructed by our own lawyers not to talk about doctrine. We were told not to argue about doctrine by the court, because the court is not the arena for us to debate doctrines. And so in our affidavits, not much was stated about the doctrine. We were told, don't talk about doctrine. And so during the trial, it was about doctrine. But we could not bring in new information other than what had already been submitted in our affidavit. And then in the first part of the trial, FEBC lost because the High Court judge ruled against the college. But in the appeal court, by the grace and the mercies of God, God taught us a very precious lesson. God used the three secular judges. And some of them are not even believers. And then they came out with a judgment that was all doctrine. And the way that they defended the Word of God, it was so logical, it was so accurately presented in such a manner, whereby God had to tell us that it is my glory, it is my word that I'm defending. And FEBC, it is your honor and your privilege to defend the Word of God, because God did not need us. God defended His Word Himself. That is the sovereign power of God Almighty. The Word of God can protect itself, in other words. And God says, I have given this honor and privilege to my children on earth, to my churches all over the world. Would you now bear this privilege and this burden to protect God's Word? Would you? Because God says it is forever settled in heaven. It will always stand true against whatever man may throw at her. The Word of God will always be what it is. Forever and ever and ever. It will never be changed. No matter what you may vote on it, no matter what democracy may say, you think man can do anything to just simply wish God out of existence, and because we say the Word of God has mistakes, and therefore the Word of God has mistakes, you think there is so much power in the words of man? Have we so soon forgotten that the Word of God is what power is? You and I have no inherent power. The power is always in the Word of God. And that is the reason why we come together as a gathering of so many churches. Because without the Word of God, the Church of Jesus Christ has nothing to offer the world. What can we give the world? You want to give talent? You look at Hollywood. They are the talented people with all their gimmicks, with all their special effects. They can make a man fly. They can make a man climb up the wall as if he's really climbing up the wall. You talk about talent, we lose. You want to talk about entertainment? The world has everything to entertain. What the world needs is God's Word. And God says God's people must protect His Word. Because God will never lie to us. He is the ever-faithful God. Verse 90 and verse 91. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Throughout the generations, one after the other, men comes, men live, men dies. Men comes, men live, men dies. These generations will come, generations will go. But God remained faithful and constant. He has always preserved His Word of God so that every generation will always have His perfect Word of God with him. No generation was without God's Word. Every generation have always been given the perfect Word of God. For those who argue and say that the Word of God was only perfect, only at the point of inspiration, that means only a very few privileged generations were given the Word of God, and in bits and pieces. And according to their theory, according to their proposition, the Word of God was never perfect in its complete whole. Because by the time, for example, according to their argument, Malachi was written, Genesis would have been in its original autograph completely lost. Because they said that it was only perfect in its original autograph. That parchment, that writing of Moses, that was it. The moment that parchment, that writing of Moses was destroyed, the Word of God has mistakes. Then what about God's faithfulness to His generations continuously? He has promised us that the Word of God is settled in heaven and He cannot lie. You mean the rest of the generations that follow will always have a Bible with mistakes? God tells us He is faithful to all generations. Look at the earth. He has established the earth and it remains. As long as the earth remains, as long as you and I are on the earth, God knows that we need God's Word. Because the Word of God is the only Word that is able to turn a sinner into a saint. The Word of God is the only milk and meat to feed the saints, whereby we can mature and become more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ. And if God knows how important the Word of God is to His people, how important the Word of God is to save sinners from their sin and hell and the lake of fire, why would God not be faithful to preserve His Word throughout all the generations so that every generation will always have His perfect Word? God says He will. Man says he did not. You choose. You want to believe in the words of man, finite man, or would you rather believe in an eternal, perfect God who has given to us His Word? They continue this day according to God's ordinances, for all are His servants. The whole creation moves and turns, every leaf, every raindrop, all according to God's ordinance, God's judgments, God's Word, God's ordained desires. All of them are His servants. Every bird, every bee, every insect, everything on this earth. That's how powerful our God is. And if He can do all these things to creation, where every part of creation are His servants. And you think God cannot preserve His Word? God is not faithful to all generations to give us His perfect Word. God protects His Word Himself. And God says to His children, to His churches, that privilege and honor I give it to you. Would you do it? Would you rise to the occasion to stand true to this privilege that God has bestowed upon us? God could easily have saved us and bring us all to heaven, but He did not. He saved us and He kept us in health. He blessed us. And then now He says, I want you to do this and make sure that in every church that the Word of God must be boldly protected. Now, how to best protect His Word? You have to proclaim it. You have to tell it. You must not be afraid to tell the world that the Word of God is all that the world needs. And in order to do that, you must be prepared to face all sorts of abuse, persecution, temptations that will come your way to hinder your ministry, to rob you of this desire so that you will only start well, but you will not end well. But how to keep it going, how to make sure that you will always proclaim the Word of God, that you will not give up to the very last breath of your body. Verses 92 and 93 is how we can do that. Unless thy law had been my delights, my enjoyment, the greatest enjoyment in your life must not be basketball. The greatest enjoyment must not be tennis, must not be computer games. We spend hours on our computer playing computer games. We spend hours watching some sports. Now they have live telecast. We wake up early in the morning to watch some kind of a football match. 22 people kicking around one tiny little ball. Right? That gives us a lot of delight, especially when our favorite team is about to play. And so throughout the whole day, we are so excited, so happy, because at the wee hours of the morning, we have something to look forward to. And then we plan and we plot. Sleep early at 6 p.m. so that I will wake up at 1 a.m. I'll be alert and watch and so on. And that gives me great delight. True? Not to the psalmist. The psalmist says, the Word of God gives him delight. And unless the Word of God is his delight, plural, continuously, thrill his soul, he loves it, I should then have perished in my affliction. Because the afflictions will come. Because the afflictions will make everything you do painful. It hurts. You think it was easy for William Tyndale to be arrested and then to be burned at the stake? And prior to that, he had to leave his homeland to run and hide in Europe because even his own people betrayed him. And he had to run and hide in order to finish the task that God has laid in his heart, to translate the Word of God into the language of my people, that they may read God's Word, because he understood that without the Word of God in the language that they could read, it was no good to them. The Word of God was sealed to them. It was as good as being bound if they don't have the Word of God in their own language. And you think it was easy for him finally to be arrested and then tied up to be burned? You think it was easy for Martin Luther, for John Knox, for many of God's servants who fought and fought and fought and fought? If not for the great delight and enjoyment that they have in the study of God's Word, in the Word of God itself, in telling people about the Word of God, that kept them going. They continue, this day according to thy ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in my affliction. Give up. They did not give up to the very end of their lives. They held on to their faith and to the Word of God, which their faith was founded upon. Because to protect means you have to proclaim. You have to tell the world that this is the Word of God, and this is the Word of God that you must read, and not any other translations, because these translations have errors in them, have mistakes in them, have poison in them. And many of these local churches have used the modern translations. You see how these churches have slowly withered away and die off. It was such a slow death, so gradual was their death, that they don't even know that they have already died, whereby the glory of God has already departed from all these churches, and they still think that they are walking in the right path. That's how deceptive the evil one is. Any church that has a low view of God's word, you have a low view of God. And the moment you have a low view of God, you expect God to bless you. You stop defending God, so you stop proclaiming God's word, and you expect God to bless you. You think God will answer your prayers? Please don't equate blessings with material things. Please don't think that because you can build a multi-million dollar great project, and you have millions and millions of dollars in your bank account, thousands of people flock to your church. You must be on the right path with God. Don't kid yourself. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many, many, the Bible says, will walk in it. And at the end of it, they will die. Don't equate blessing from the perspective of the world. Blessing is always spiritual. It's faithfulness. It's obedience to God's word. And so the psalmist says, because the word of God is his delight, I will never forget thy precepts, no matter what the world may do to me. I will never forget the word of God, for with them thou hast quickened me. You have made me alive. You have given me life, the word of God. Was it not how you became a Christian? Was it not through the gospel message that someone presented and given to you, and the word of God through the Holy Spirit? God says, your lives have been turned around. You have been made alive. That's what the psalmist says. I delight in God's word. He has made me alive. He has given me life. I have Jesus Christ, who means everything to me. And if Jesus means everything to me, you can take away everything else and I would lose nothing, because I have Jesus Christ. He is everything, right? If he is everything, means everything else is nothing. You can take away my money, my freedom, even my life, and I would have lost nothing, because I have Christ. That was what the psalmist understood the word of God to be to him. And so he protects God's word. To him it was a privilege and an honor. And so by doing so, he proclaimed the word of God. He will tell the whole world about the word of God. That's why it is penned down for us, for our study, for our blessing. But above all that, if you don't live it out in your life, you don't practice it in your life, then you will do the greatest damage to the cause of Christ, because you will be a hypocrite. It's one thing to talk and tell the world about Jesus Christ. It's one thing to tell the world about the love of Christ. But then when you do not show the love of Christ, you are a hypocrite. Protect, proclaimed, you must practice. And so the psalmist says, I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. I have gone out of my way to seek it out, to find it, to find the law of God, in order that I may live it out. I may live my life in light of God's word. Students, study very hard according to Holy Scriptures. Do you know what according to Holy Scriptures means when you study? It means not getting straight A's. That is not the basis. It means that through your studies, you are drawn closer to God. You begin your study with prayer. You continue your study with prayer. And then you end your study with prayer. You continue your study, your exams with prayer. And you trust in the Lord and commit to Him the end result. My life is yours to live, Lord. And if your faith and trust in God grew and deepened in the process of your study, of as you face exams, that is where the real exam is. Not on pen and paper. Your walk with the Lord. Your experiential walk with the Lord. To know that God can be trusted. And then you carry this on into your working life. And then you continue to pray. Where do you want me to serve? I am there as an ambassador for Christ. I'm not going to be motivated by money, by promotion, but by the same motivation that motivated you as in study God's word. Your faith and your trust and your walk with the Lord. And then when you want to look for a life partner, the same will hold true. Who do you look for as a life partner? What are the biblical criteria for a life partner? And then you pray and then you trust in the Lord. And your whole life will be one and the same. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. Practice. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. Because when you live for Christ, when you go out of your way to live for Christ, the world will hate you because the world is in darkness. And then when you shine bright, you will expose their darkness and their sin, and they want to shut off your light. And they're going to persecute you, they're going to seduce you, they'll do whatever it takes to switch off the light that is shining forth by your life of obedience. But the psalmist says, I will consider God's testimonies. The word consider means I myself will consider diligently, investigate, and to obey God's word diligently. I myself must do it. My mom can't do it for me. My pastor can't do it for me. I must do it myself. And I will not allow persecution to frighten me off. I will not allow seduction to seduce me into compromise. I will hold true to Christ. No matter how much they want to tempt me with pay, no matter how much they want to dangle the golden carrot in front of me, I will not give up my faith and my walk with the Lord. I will still hold true. And that was the psalmist's heart's desire, to protect, to proclaim, and to practice. And the conclusion, I have seen an end of all perfection, the psalmist testifies. You look at the works of men, they seem so perfect, isn't it? The most beautiful car, the most beautiful gadget, when you first receive it, it was shiny, it was gleaming, it was perfect. But then the psalmist says, out of all the perfections that man has created, I have seen an end. Which is true, isn't it? The law, what? Second law of thermodynamics, everything will fall apart, everything will decay. Everything will just simply rust and rot away. Is that not true? You look at all your gadgets. It's designed to fail. That's why you have people lying up day and night just to get the iPhone 4S. Is that not true? You have iPhone 4 already, right? What do you want to have an S there for? Well, they designed to fail. Otherwise, how will this company make their billions? It looks perfect when you got it, right? How many hours you queue up? Nah, I got the S. Perfect. The psalmist says, it's going to rot, it's going to spoil, it's going to die off, it's going to decay. However, God's commandment, the word of God, is exceeding broad. Do you know what that means, exceeding broad? It means as far as extent is concerned, as far as its continuity is concerned, it goes on and on and on and on. God's perfection continues on without end. It doesn't decay, it doesn't diminish, it doesn't lose its shine. That's the purity of the word of God. That's God's word. And the word of God is able for all occasions to bless us. When you are down, the word of God can lift you up. When you are sad, the word of God can give you hope. When you are happy and contented, the word of God will teach you how to rejoice. When you have sinned, the word of God will sanctify. That is exceeding broad. That's how amazing and wonderful the word of God is. It has no end. It continues on. It is perfect from the very beginning when God gave it to us, and it will continue to be perfect into eternity. And it is good for all things in our lives. That's the word of God that binds us all together this evening. And may the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be praised as we continue to rejoice and to thank God for what the Lord has given to us. For through the King James Bible, the word of God that we have just studied, God opened the windows of heaven to our eyes, that we may understand His word, which He has given to us in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. But we thank God for the many translators, and some of them, like Willem Tyndale, paid for it with his life, that you and I may read God's word in the English language. Amen. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, for Thy precious word. Stir within our hearts and create in us, O Lord, a thirst and a hunger for Thy word, that even as we practice Thy word, proclaim Thy word, and protect Thy word, we know, Lord, this is a high honor that Thou hast given to us, weak children of the Most High God. Strengthen us, grant to us courage and strength in these last days, that we may not fail Thee, but that we may continue to boldly, earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints, remaining steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor in the Lord will not be in vain. Bless Thy people this evening with the rest of tonight's program. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.